Are your customers not coming back?
And leaving you behind for your biggest competitors?
Like your ex-girlfriend?
60% of customers say they're willing to pay more.
If it means that they receive a quality service.
We're sending all our clients gift cards and flowers.
What are you doing for yours?
Stay tuned as we discuss how to increase the value of your customers.
And get them to come back.
Unlike your girlfriend.
So these are the three most important things when it comes to customer values. First thing is going to be just willingness to spend more with you. The next thing is loyalty, that they don't go anywhere else. And then after that, it's going to be the willingness to spread the word to get other people to come with you. So think of it kind of like a partner, you know, out there besides the last one, because they obviously don't want to share, maybe. I don't know what you're into. But on there. But those are three things. One thing that we kind of do for loyalty, what's kind of a couple things we do for loyalty, Eddie, to keep them coming back?
We just give them good service. And then another thing is we always give
what's
them.
What's good service?
What do you mean? What they want.
What do they want?
They want good communication. They want us to follow through on our promises. And then they want us to have a big smile on our face when we deliver.
Yeah. So basically, keep our promises, attitude, and then do what we say we're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like it's in the ultimate checklist. Mm. That's what it sounds like.
But, it does sound familiar.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, but, you know, whatever. We'll keep that to the side over there. Yeah, so those are a couple of things right here. The reason why these are important, and I'm going to cut to the chase on this really short, and Eddie knows the reason really quick, is that if you can provide more value to your customers, you're more likely to get more money back out. And I think we talked about before, but there's only like two ways to get more money. You either sell more customers or get the customers that you already have to buy more with you. And it's easier to get the customers you already have to buy more with you by just providing them very high-quality service.
Yeah. For an example, when we first started off, I remember we did like the free delivery thing, and then
for free.
Yeah. Then once we switched it over and we actually charged, like people started dropping off, and then the real ones stick with us. And even to this point, we have a lot of customers that came with us like originally on our year one, and they love the value that we gave them, because a lot of people in this industry didn't give them what we gave them, which is the communication, which we overly communicate. I think we're really quick on getting quotes back and stuff like that. So they just love it. And, just like you said, the real one's going to stick with us and spend more money. That's what we want.
Yeah. You don't want your only value to be for these customers is that you're the lowest. You don't want that.
Uh-uh.
That doesn't work out, because then when someone else becomes the lowest, they take your spot. And it's easy to be the lowest. You just go to charge them lunch and lose money. And a lot of people that you think who are doing these, you know, let me give you an example. Let's go back around this right here. We had a situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
our tents didn't come.
So we had a delay in our tents, I think 2:15 by 15s. So Daddy got in a little bind, and I jumped on Facebook Marketplace, because I know that's like the cheapest place to go. And I found this one guy, and he was like doing 20 by 20s like for $200, which is like dirt cheap. And I was like, oh, man. And he showed me the tent, and I was like, okay. To me, it looks like frame tent, like maybe like a... It kind of looks like carport, but
carport, yeah.
It looks kind of a little bit better, more acceptable. So I got there, the guy comes in there, and he starts setting it up. And I'm like, okay, that's actually good. Like the whole hardware and everything looks good. It's not cheap or anything like that. So they set everything up. And then I'm like, okay, great, you're done. And then the guy started putting sidewalls on them and start putting lights and all this other stuff. I'm like, this is $200? I'm going to get your number. I'm going to sell it for $800.
Yeah.
And but yeah, just like you said, like, I think we can easily sell that stuff for way more. But people like get stuck on undervaluing the services that they provide, and they just get scared of, you know, increasing the price.
The problem is when you don't charge as much, is that you have no room for marketing. You can't spend any money on marketing because you basically are cut thin on everything. And then that's the reason why probably they had room to take this job, because everybody else is over here is sold out on tents.
Like, yeah.
We called everybody else and they sold out. But now that we know, you know, we're going to be using them in the future to make more money. But it works out for them. If they're cool with the price, we cool with the price.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, one thing, ways that we kind of, like, we really started this year kind of on the value standpoint is, like, when it comes to issues, like, we're not really refund guys. Like, we're no refund guys. But this year, we've been a lot more lean on certain things. So, like, if we mess up, obviously, if we mess up, we do it. If they even think we mess up and we can't prove that we didn't, we're even more reasonable to give more stuff out now, especially as we're getting bigger and stuff like that. Because there's no reason to fight every single one, because, like, we were fighting every single one. But on the actual customers, like, sometimes, like, you know, it could be just you might want to keep the customers. They have a bad experience. We had an experience with one of the customers. She'd been renting with us for, like, a long time. And I think one of the tables, she said, dropped on the ground, and it destroyed, like, all her glasses and stuff like that. Now, I don't know. I ain't never seen a table walk, but I sent you that video of that tent walking that one time.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty funny. Why don't you put it up here somewhere?
Yeah. I never seen the table walk, but the table fell, and I think she had probably like $50 worth of glasses on there that broken, and like we took care of her on that one. So it was pretty simple. I mean, her order that she did for that event was like $5,000 or $6,000. So it's like not like, you know.
Yeah, it's like it makes sense.
Yeah, but it's the little things that you have to do. It's the making sure that you do exactly what you say you're going to do, showing up on time, getting them the quality equipment that you promised them, and make sure they're aware of your equipment too as well. And then when you're starting up new, everyone starts up new and says, oh, well, I want to have the best quality equipment. That's easier said than done when your stuff is brand new. But when you get 4, 5, 10 years in this right here, like you're going to have a whole different process of what good equipment is and stuff on there. It can't be brand new. And if people are only with you because they're brand new, people are going to switch off a year later to go other places. We had that same experience. So all this right here leads to customer lifetime value and everything like that. Tina, what's customer lifetime value?
So customer lifetime value is a projection of the net profit that is contributed by an ongoing future relationship with the customer.
So yeah, so that makes everything right there. Like we have a little feature inside of our website that does customer value for each customer. And this is how we make decisions too. So when we're thinking about refunding people or giving people discounts, we look into this. So I even told them like we had an issue where like we were trying to charge somebody who spent like $20,000-$30,000 with us and over time like $6 over some nitpicky stuff. And like that's not something that you should do. People don't like that. And if you're out there doing that, don't do that. It's not good. Yeah. Except if they're one of those customers. You know, one of those mean customers that you don't want to work with no more. Get all your money. Do that. So the thing you need to know, this is an easy way to figure out what your customer value is to you in that part. First of all, lifetime customer value will be the easiest one. How much your customers are coming back. And then you can do an average across all your customers to see what the average lifetime value is of it so far. So if you're just starting out, you might not have a large amount. The next thing is that over a year period would be like how many of these customers come back to rent with you again. Because if you can get customers that you got last year to come back next year, you're getting new customers in, you'll just keep growing and building. Especially if you're not have like a leaky bucket and then the customers are falling out the bottom and some are staying in and then you got to keep adding more and more water and the leaks get bigger and bigger. So you got to keep doing more marketing. You don't want to be in a situation like that because that's like a big thing. You don't want to do that in yourself. So that's why you got to provide good service and you have to be able to really show your value and make people sure people understand your value because everyone's not going to be cool. Like we had a comment, I think it was from Robert. He was talking about he had a situation where he had a 40 by 40 hexagon tent, 2 20 by 20s, all stuff right here happened. And then he was like, this customer was complaining day one, started getting mad at him on every single thing because he wanted to set up earlier so they can get their stuff done.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, we have to wait till our grass get cut, all this stuff right here. And so he waits till the grass get cut. So then he goes, sets up, puts everything up. And then on Saturday, they call him and say, hey, you should have set all this stuff up earlier in the week because now we don't have enough time to do all our stuff. And he's like, well, that's what I was trying to do. And like, you know, you have, and then the customer is just complaining about every single thing about it. And some people just are complaining people.
Yeah. And another thing on that we realized too, a lot of these events that are going on, generally there's an event planner and then they're working directly towards the client. And then a lot of times, I think we had this like a week or two ago where they dropped the ball or like, whoopsie, I didn't order this or whatever. And then they just throw the blame on this way. That way they don't look bad because obviously they want to keep the business as the event planner. So that happens a lot too. So it might have been that situation where, you know, you might have told the event planner like, hey, I want to come here set up early. And they're like, no, this happens. And then the client like later says, hey, they should have set this thing up early. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
because they never want to take the blame. But so in those circumstances, I think we always say that it's better just to be us to be the bad guy because the event planner is always going to come back to us. But sometimes we'll be the scapegoat for the situation.
So the statistic that I have for us today is brands with superior customer experience bring in 5.7 times more revenue than competitors that lack customer experience.
So as you can see right here, so if you're providing good services, it's a way likely for you to grow your business and everything. If you're doing shady hood work underneath stuff over there, you know, I'm doing all these crazy things. And you know why I say shady hood work for?
Why is that?
Because the people that I think are the most shadiest people are mechanics.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
They still get business.
Yeah, I know. Somehow that's because they got nowhere to go to.
Well, I think it's a good industry because like everybody drives a car. So even if you're shady hood work, you're still going to get business regardless.
For now. People eventually going to be flying.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, Eddie, you used to work at a place called Ford Motor Company, right?
Yeah.
What'd you do at Ford Motor Company?
Oh, I sold service to vehicles that broke down. So okay. Basically, I was the middleman on the mechanics and the customer.
And then how'd you get paid during that?
It was all through commission.
So would you say the biggest thing to help you grow your commission was how you develop long-lasting relationships with your customers?
100%. Even to this day, like, a whole bunch of people call me. Like,
you still fix their cars?
Well, I link them up with people that can.
Oh, you don't take nothing in the middle?
No, I don't. I just do it out of goodness of my heart. And that's why I have these customers.
So, like, you named some situations that this has happened or you in? I remember you had this one guy who has like a fleet vehicles and they call you. I remember that I was there to call asking for you like a couple of years ago. Not a couple of years, I think it was like last year.
Yeah. So there's a client that has like a fleet of vehicles, and generally when he needs maintenance, so he'll give me a call directly, and then I'll just basically take care of him. I've been with Ford for a long time, so I know the system very well. So I kind of go around everybody else and I get his vehicles out there really quick. So that's why he calls me, because like, the same thing with us right now. Like, when our vehicles are down, it's like the worst thing possible, because like, we make money with those vehicles, so we want them out fast. So he always just gives me a call directly. That way I can make it happen.
Yeah, and then you get the commission off. So this is the same thing like in the business. It's like, if you can get more customers to come with you just because they want to work with you specifically, and not to be like you as an Eddie, but hopefully it's going to be you as your company. Just maybe they know somebody, and mostly it's going to be because of relationships inside of the business.
No.
For the most part, that's a good way to be able to actually grow your sales a lot more. Because like if none of your customers return, how well would you have done on commission wise?
Not as good. The same thing, like when I was a service advisor, it was the same concept, like building rapport with that single customer, and they tell other people, and then it's just like a snowball effect, and just people come directly to you, or, you know, it's just very easy to do business, because sometimes I have to tell people I can't take anymore, because, you know, I'm getting new clients, and then the old ones are coming in back of them, and I'm like, I can't handle it, yeah. Which is a good problem to have, but, you know, it just, if you have that practice that you're just taking care of the customer, and like I said, build that rapport, and the sky's the limit. They're just going to keep coming endlessly, because everybody wants to be treated right and feel security when they're spending their money. And if you can give them that, they're just going to open their wallet and give it to you.
So most everybody in here watching, for the most part, either you started this company already or you're planning on starting this. If you work in any type of service-based business or any type of service-based job, it's the same kind of stuff we have to really work on. It's like, what are we going to do to retain these customers? Like, how are we going to go above and beyond so they're not looking other places? If you think about it, it's like your partner, your wife, your husband, whatever it is out there. It's the same thing. Like, how are you going to keep them interested in a relationship to only come back to you? And it's something that we think about a lot for the customers. Like, what new stuff can we provide? Can we provide more services? Can we provide more products? Like, what's their experience from when they first see the ad all the way to the very end? Like, what experience are they having from when they deliver? Like, do they understand their contract? Do they understand what they're getting? Do they have any questions across the thing? Like, how do you get through the whole process? How do you make people feel like they're heard? And then that also, too, that they want to actually do more business with you. Because a couple things we do, we do the pickup reminders, delivery reminders. We do the call with Michelle, which is, she's part of the dispatch team. She calls, gets customers, figure out where they want stuff at, kind of do all that little stuff right there. And mostly the thing, the customers are saying the same thing, like, oh, everything's good, put it here. I want an hour heads up before you get there. But that's a big thing for us. That's the thing that we are technically, like, the next level of stuff that we have to solve to actually retain customers more. It's just the whole thing about setting expectations across the board, because I know that we have so many things that are controlled and so many processes across the whole thing that we do very well. But I think the one thing that we lack on is like the ETA timing. But the thing is, we know that once you give a time, no matter what time they agreed on, they signed the contract, is it becomes that time. So if anything happens, and in this week right here, we don't have 3 box trucks down. So that's our biggest vehicles are down right now. Plus our other one down that's already been down. So now we're in a situation where, like, if we make the promise, we have to be able to keep that promises. And so, like, that's like one thing that we're working on, is how do we get to the point where we can actually get the ETAs to people and actually be able to live up to those ETAs in some regards on there. We were doing a thing a while ago where we just create the ETAs before we do it, so we can have something to base it off of. Mm-hmm. We got to get back to that. That's one thing, like, it's just like the little details are the things that actually makes the stuff the difference. I believe from our company standpoint, if we can get the ETAs to customers, and I don't mean like we're going to be here at 3:46. I mean like in like a 2 to 3 hour range at least. Yeah. On the day of, so we can have time in case something happens, that we'll be able to push ourselves to the next echelon of just service across the board. Because we're already getting, like, I realize we're getting, not just that we have the most reviews in our area, but, like, I think per, like we're, like, pulling ahead of people by, like, so far. Like, the nearest person, I think, is getting, like, 5 a month. and we're getting around 15 a week. And I believe that we could even get even better service and wow people if they knew exactly what was going to go on during that stuff right there. And that would help us even retain even more customers. Because I would say like that, and we have a couple of chairs that we got to get better quality on there. Mm-hmm. It's like a couple of those things. And then the actual timing is like the biggest thing to retain customers back. And then if you think about like where you're having the most issues at or most complaints at, that's where you need to actually focus on retaining customers across the board on there. So the biggest thing I know that Eddie likes is our communication.
Oh, I love communication. One thing that we do very well is over-communicating. I know before we would just tell them one time, but we understand people are very busy and sometimes they forget. So one thing that we do is we just overly communicate everything, you know, from emails, text messages, calling, leaving voicemails. We just want to make it a point that you know, all the information is present at the time when it needs to be for the customer. Little things like that, those are the little details that make the difference in the customer's experience.
Yeah. Wait, so I'm trying to think about it. So like, what is our full process? So from, obviously, they get an instant quote. Mm-hmm. Someone calls them in 10 minutes or so. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, like, they call them, go through the process, go through the whole sales process. Obviously, the sales process is obviously going to be the most communication process that everybody kind of has. Mm-hmm. And then we go to the next part. So once that happens, Michelle reaches out to each customer of the week, or I think like a week out, something like that, and to ask them like where they want the stuff at. Do they have any specialties? Or they're having a wedding, so they get the types down so we can know what's going on, like confirm the time of their events. Because people tell you a time, then they change it based on when the delivery is. They're like, oh no, we're going to the party Friday. Then Terry goes through and sends out the delivery reminders. And she sends that out about 3 to 4 days before the delivery. Mm-hmm. And also when she sends the reminder, if they have a balance due, she'll tell them to pay the balance and all that stuff too as well. And she sends them a list. And I can show you like a list of exactly what it looks like. It's a nice, really formatted thing. We send it through email. And then they also send a text to them to have a photo to that thing. And then we send them a whole bunch of other stuff, like what to do with the tents, all that stuff like that. And then usually we get responses back from there on changes or whatever to do so they can confirm any stuff. And then then the day of, Michelle goes and calls them again and says, hey, your delivery is out for delivery today. Later on, the dispatch will call them to ask them, you know, tell them that the person is at least 30 minutes or an hour away, depending on what was asked on there. Once it is dropped off, a text message is sent to the customer, and the text message is asked them, did they got all their items, all that stuff like that. So text message is in an email. And then after their event, we'll email them about what they need to do to set up for pickup. And then so that'll be Terry email for pickup. And then the day of, again, Michelle or someone will call them or message them and tell them that their delivery's out for today. And then dispatch will call them again. And then they get another text to make sure everything was picked up. And then they get a text by me that asks them, how was their event? Did everything go the way you're supposed to do? All that stuff like that. And then that's when we get all the feedback if something didn't go the way it's supposed to be.
Then we handle it.
Then we handle it, or people say great, and we get the reviews. Mm-hmm. I know it's a long process, the whole thing, but like that's a lot of communication. But that's the communication that we do.
Yeah.
So, Eddie, what do you think is the best way to create a satisfied customer experience?
The best experience?
Yeah, that's realistic. Obviously, if they can rent it and it shows up, that'd be best.
Yeah, I think that's great. And you rent it and it shows up. I mean, getting their vision and making it, you know, come true, I think that's the best. Cause I think everybody's different as well. But I think the majority, just like you said, just the timeliness. I know if you drop the ball and you're there late, it's never good. But for the most part, if you just meet your commitment, then you're good. For the most part, it eliminates like 90% of the issues.
Yeah. So that's basically the whole thing. I know we touched a lot on giving the best experience because that's really how you retain customers. Every other way that we talk about in here is going to be just tactics after you've gotten good experiences. Because after this, you can go through, you want to reach back out to them, ask for a review, reach out to them on their birthdays, all these days, that any days that you have that is important that you reach out to them on, offer them something of need, all this of value, all that stuff. But first, the only thing that matters is doing good service. If you just do good service, you'll get more. Because the thing is, you know you get good service when people automatically reach out and say, hey, people are asking where I got the chairs from, where the tables are from. I've told like 20 people in the party exactly about you. Like that's how you know that you're growing.
Yeah.
And if you can get every single customer to come out and say that because they've had such a great experience, then you will never even need marketing in the future because you'll just be getting 20 new people from each person you push out. And that's kind of the thing that you want to do to be a retained customer because then that customer, once they put it out there on a review, they're locked in with you at this point now because they've already verbally committed out to the ether and to the public and said, I'm only with this person. And then also, you have to worry about, too, there are going to be some customers that try to take advantage of you. But that's just part of the
game.
Part of the game. And so they try to take advantage of you, and then you got to just make sure you're not being ever in a situation to be taken advantage of.
So the statistic that I have is happy and satisfied customers are 87% more likely to purchase more items and new services.
Yeah. It's so funny that you say 87% because we found out that the 13% even that have a bad time still might come back to you, because most times they realize that the stuff they were mad at was not actually worth being mad at.
Yeah. And then another thing is a lot of things that we do, just, you know, not extra or anything like that, other companies don't do.
Yeah.
And they like that.
Like calling you back for your actual quote, getting the ability to get the instant quote or at least be able to get the quotes out faster. Like, it doesn't have to be a full quote sometimes, too. Sometimes you just, like, they need to be, like, just reach out and talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, don't delay on that at all. Because that's, like, the things I think that has changed our business, like just dramatically, just getting back to people and being able to get them what they need as fast as possible. Because we're living in an age right now where people over your, even though you don't have to compete with Amazon, but you have to compete with Amazon service. Like, and Amazon is working to get closer and closer to instant service. So you need to be working on getting your service closer and closer to the instant service as well, too. As you're talking about instant service, if you want to get something free and instant, I mean, not instant, because we gotta go through and review every person who comes in and list it, but whatever. It's going to be instant eventually. The Ultimate Checklist. Make sure you go ahead and download the Ultimate Checklist. The Ultimate Checklist has a whole list of a lot of stuff in here that you can do for your part of rental business. We have version 15 should be out when this is out right here. So you'll be checking out version 15. It has a whole bunch of new stuff in there. We basically put more graphics and everything to show kind of more details and everything, but also to added a couple new chapters, and we expanded the FAQs. It should be over like 60 or 70 different FAQ questions too to help you with your business. Make sure when you download it, you read it and you go through it. Solve one problem and then keep going. Don't read this whole thing right now today and then don't do nothing. Don't do that. That's not what Ultimate Checklist is for. If you do that, we're going to have to charge you for that. It's only free if you use it. So make sure you use it. The Ultimate Checklist, download now. There are two ways that you can get more value and make more money from your customer. One way is that you need to get the customer to come back more, or you need to get them to spend more when they do come back more. So, Eddie, So what's our techniques right now that we're doing to get customers to come back more?
To come back more? I mean, usually we send them out like a little reminder, like a little, you know, coupon code or something like that, and they generally come back. What we do also on our back end, we can kind of see like their days that they did events with us, and we just kind of send them a reminder, say, hey, come on back to us. And we know you have a birthday at this day, so you're going to have another one this year. So come,
your birthday come on. Didn't change.
Yeah, it didn't change. Or, you know, just any kind of little reminder, just to touch them to let them know, hey, we're still here, so come on back.
Yeah. So we have two things that we have in the work. So this is another strategy we do. We do the same thing. Like every single year, especially during the slow season, we call back over people who from last year, and then we get orders from there. And we've done pretty well converting. The second thing is something that Tina is not doing right now that she needs to do, is that monthly email that we send out to all the customers that we're going to send out exactly on different ideas and stuff they can do. So like you want to send somebody out. One person that does it really well in our industry that we like is called The Rental Stop. It's one of our actually biggest competitors. They do this like every single month, but they have a different from equipment rentals. And they do a little bit part rental that mix both of them together, and it works out really well because you can kind of see what you could be using for. They do it especially for like when you're doing like different types of projects for your home, and they do the tools and stuff you can use to do it, and they kind of show you how to do it. So what's the second way? So now that we got them to come back, we're like, come back to us. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on Eddie.
Yeah, the next thing we do is we really work on like upsells. We see what their needs are, and then we kind of fill in the gaps, because sometimes they might not know there's a little missing little fine touch that will really pop the party. So a lot of things like maybe pipe and drapes, maybe a throne chair. We give them the cocktail idea because they're like, oh yeah, people do like to stand up and drink, and just, you know, they'll have something to put their drinks on. Or, you know, just a whole large array of different things.
You know, one thing that I saw is from the rental guy. He's using this mock-up software. I signed us up. Well, I didn't sign us up. Technically, Danica signed us up. But Danica signed us up to get the software so we can start sending out these mock-ups, especially for the bigger events and stuff like that. But I seen one that he's using. I thought it was pretty cool. I think we can probably get someone next year who just works on that and just sends that out for itself. If we can get it down where we can do like 2 hours on each event or something like that, so we can get out there. And also, too, you can show them what they're missing. That's one thing he talks about. So shout out to him on there. It's something we're going to use putting forward. I think it really help us with these bigger events and be able to do more. So let's go through all the ways to get more paying things, to get people to pay more. So we have additions. Mm-hmm. Additions would be like a sidewall is an add-on. to a tent.
Yeah.
A tent heater is an add-on to that, too. Then also, you can do, like, we talk about cross-sells. So maybe the person wanted the 20 by 100, but maybe we only have a 40 by 100, maybe like a 30 by 100. You know, be some, you might sell them that, and they might, something they might want to go with. So that would be your cross-sells and stuff like that. And then we'll go into upsells. So maybe someone wanted the pole tent, and they wanted the pole tent, just a regular pole tent at first. But now you sell them a cell pole tent. Mm-hmm. Put the drapery in there. It looks all beautiful and everything. Nice. Yeah, so maybe that's the upsell. Or maybe you go straight into a structured tent, and it looks like a building. And takes, you know, a couple of days to put up. Did you have to do any downsells in there?
What, at Ford?
Yeah.
Not really, to be honest with you. And that's the reason why, like I said, I left the whole thing. I like to be truthful. You know, it's kind of hard because I think you got to understand the whole business in a nutshell, the whole thing. But the mechanics are trying to get hours, so they're gonna sell anything and everything on the book. So whenever you get the list of what they need, it's a huge list generally. And I was the type that was like, do they really need all this? And I'll go back and verify stuff because I know I work on vehicles too, so I know what's what. So I'll visually look, and I'm like, yeah, they don't need this. So I'll tell the customer, like, look, this is what you need. The other stuff could wait till later if you really want it.
Just kind of like a downsell.
It's kind of like a downsell. But and that's how I built rapport, to be honest with you, because people trusted me because they knew I wasn't in it for the money. If I was in it for the money, I'd be like, you need all this. This thing's not going to make it out of the dealership. Like, I don't even know how you got here. Like, you need to pay for it all right now. You know, some people do that to kind of scare people, you know.
So another thing is additional services. So we offer a couple different additional services. One of them is the venue that we're sitting in that someone rent last night. Another one is we offer
staffing.
And then we're going to offer some other services. Maybe we'll have planners and things. And
videography.
Like, we do offer videography. But we offer those extra services, and that's a way to get other stuff, too. One way you can do, if you don't have these services, you can get someone who has these services, and then you can get some type of referral fee so you can make more money off top of the customer. And off top of that, you don't have to do none of the labor or anything with it. So that'd be a good way to work everything out. And then Tina was telling me something interesting a couple of days ago. What were you saying?
A couple of days ago? Yes, I was. So 33% of customers will consider switching to a competitor after a single bad experience.
I think that number probably is higher, to be honest. People get mad and just keep going until they find somebody, you know, different on there. Especially in this industry, too, because, like, you're literally part of people's most important events in their life. Trinidad James always said, what did he always say, Eddie?
Novo.
Novo Banking. If you just started your business and you're looking for a business checking account, Novo is the one that we use right now, and we love it. It's all online. It's free. It has these little modules in there where you can separate your account so you can have different accounts to be able to save money in certain places. And also, too, you come with a card. You can add multiple cards, add different users onto it. Also, you can track all your transactions as well. Eddie, what is one reason why you like Novo?
The freeness.
And you know what they say? If it's free, take three. Sign up for Novo. This helps support the channel. It helps making me and Eddie do more videos like this. So sign up for Novo down in the description. So now that you have got all your stuff together, you know exactly how you're going to upsell, how you're going to get your customers to come back, how you're going to retain them. You understand the value where they are now. You need to make sure that you have a way to measure this. We don't really have a good answer for this right here. I'm not going to lie to you. It's really two ways. Either your software is going to do it for you, or you have to be pen and paper on Excel and then put it down and measure it that way. I would suggest that you get a software that does this for you. So you have to have some way to define if your lifetime customer value across all your customers are going up or going down. It's not really much to this right here, but you have to get it done. So I would rip out an Excel spreadsheet, and then I would go through and put all your customers down, put an average of the total every time they come back. If you're doing less than 50 orders a month, then that'd be easy to do it. If you're doing more than that, you really need to get this built into your software. If you're new and you really don't have any way for them to see if they've came back before, you can do a poll and just ask them, hey, 1 out of 10, what are you most likely, like 10 being you're going to recommend us to everybody, name your child after us, and 1 being like you're going to hate us and have a shrine that a voodoo doll hitting us and stuff like that. Which one are you on this right here? And then you can see most likely what the customers are. Now, customers, most people are going to be more likely to say nicer things to you in your face. So you're not going to get a true thing of actually what they're actually going to do. But most mad people are going to say the worst thing to you too as well. So you get to see those things. So it could be a good poll that you can put out there. So we have this thing on there on every single order. Not every single order. If the person has repeated twice, it'll show up on there. And so, like, first of all, it kind of tells that they know our system. And also, too, we want to provide great service because we spent 1 time to get them back here, get them here, and now we want to try to keep them here as much as possible.
Yeah.
So just you need to have a way to monitor it. That's the biggest thing. The important stuff, if whatever gets measured, it gets improved. So measure, you monitor, and do right that. At one point, our average order size was like $195. If you look at this month right now, the average order size is like almost $600. So we've grown that 3 times by obviously offering more stuff and being able to track the stuff that we do. We can see a gain. That's something else that we track. I just realized that we track that. Let's talk about that. It's actually on there. We track how many people convert over on the main site. We do a lot. Our website does a lot.
Yeah, that's why people won't ask and we sell it to them.
We probably should sell it. If you want to buy our website or... if you want to buy the software underneath the website that we design, let us know down below and we'll put it up there. But yeah, let's go to the next section right here. But just make sure you're monitoring and tracking your stuff. Best way to do it is through the software. Spreadsheets, I'm not doing that. That's going to take forever. So hopefully the software you have does some type of tracking along the lines of that. Basically, it's similar to what most e-commerce software does. Just I don't think it really hit the rental side yet.
All right, so the statistic that I have for this segment is that 65% of the average company's business comes from existing customers.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? So if you think about it right now, so it is just easier to sell people who already work with you. It's easier to get money from people who already spent money from you. What do you think about that, Eddie?
Just like you said it, I mean, if I go to McDonald's once, I already know what the food tastes like. So if I'm going again, I know what to expect. Unless, you know, oopsie, an accident happens.
So now on to the rental rundown. So the first question that I have for you guys is, how can I improve my customer's lifetime value if I'm on a budget?
Like, do all the work yourself. Like, like reach out to the customers. Like to improve the lifetime value, the main thing is just doing the work itself.
Because, I mean, I think the thing is we have a whole sales team, right? We have a whole team to kind of deal with this back-end stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are barely starting, they don't have those type of resources.
They're just going to have to do the work themselves, just like I said.
Yeah, that's what we did at the beginning.
Yeah, just get on the phone, start talking to them, see what they want, and then just make plans to bring more money in to each customer. Because each one of them, like your job, besides getting the event right and giving them what they want, your job is also to build the future with them, because those are going to be your building blocks of your business.
So the next question that I have for you guys is, how do I increase customer referrals specifically?
Well, the easy way is to pay them to refer other people. So literally just pay them. So every time they get a referral, you pay them some type of money. Now, the way that you actually want to do it is what Eddie's probably about to say.
Yeah, I mean, just recently, I think most of our teams have been going out, seeing a big influx in like certain cultures reaching out to us, because we do like big events and stuff like that. I mean, like a lot, like it's like a dramatic change. And not all this is by, you know, customer referrals or word of mouth. But it's always good to just do a good job and then let the work speaks for itself. And then everybody just kind of spreads the name and the word of, you know, the kind of work that you do and the results that they can get from them if they work directly with you. So just do good work and the rest will kind of come.
Yeah, because the best advertising is that everyone's going to have all these people come to their party. So imagine if someone's throwing a 200-person party, that's up to 200 or whatever the amount of guests that showed up that actually get to see your work and actually now can get referral back to you. Thank you guys so much for watching. I'm Xavier Kelly.
Eddie Salcedo.
We are the Rental Boys. And if you please, if you haven't already, please subscribe, like this video. We really appreciate it. Check out the Ultimate Checklist. We put a lot of time and effort into this. So make sure you do it, and it's free. But other than that, we'll see you on the next one.
See you.
See you.
And if you like this video, please check out this playlist over here where we have more videos just like this.